Here, is that fine?
Sure.
Is that good? Okay. Just don't throw it. Well, I don't know about you, but I sure am refreshed just being here with you folks. You have refreshed us, and we thank you for that. Your hospitality has been wonderful. You've been super friendly, and you've taken great care of us, so we greatly appreciate that. Pastor noted last night after I got done, he goes, "You look tired. You look tired. Are you sure you want to go out to coffee tonight?" I said, "Preacher, I'd love to, but I could use a good night's sleep." And I don't know if you've ever been in that position where you were just exhausted while serving the Lord. That's a good thing. I mean, if you're going to be exhausted over anything, why not be exhausted over serving the Lord? Because we can certainly get exhausted over serving ourselves. You know, but how about Him, serving Him? Well, I want to bring you a message tonight entitled A Second Wind. How do we get a second wind? You know, my wife and I, we go around the country, as you know, and we go back to places, you know, second time, a third time. We don't always see people that we saw the first time when we go back the second time. People that were really friendly with us and we talked a lot with, and we'd go back the next year and they're not there. And I'd ask the preacher, "What happened to brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so?" Well, they're not here anymore. Didn't go into any detail. They're just not here anymore. You know, that's sad. That's sad. And none of us are exempt from it. Myself included, any of us. "Wherefore let he that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Any of us can fall away. We know preachers that have fallen away, missionaries that have fallen away. And it's not always because of sin. Sometimes they're just flat wore out. I want to bring a message, like I said, on the second wind. I looked up the definition of the second wind. What does the second wind mean? It's the return of relative ease of breathing after the initial exhaustion that occurs during physical exertion. The renewed ability to continue in an effort. Second wind is a phenomenon in distance running, such as marathons, whereby an athlete who is too out of breath and tired to continue suddenly finds the strength to press on at top performance with less exertion. It is sometimes referred to in running as the runner's high. The phenomenon has come to be used as a metaphor for continuing on with renewed energy. Boy, wouldn't it be great if all of us could get a good dose of that second wind? We have a finish line that's ahead of us. We're not there yet. And we hope to cross it well. I mean, if you're saved here tonight, you're going to cross the finish line. But in what condition will you be in when you cross? You know, I pastored for 22 years two of the guys that started the church with me. My wife will attest to this. Two of the guys that started the church with me were with me for 20 years. Anything I asked somebody to do, "I need a volunteer," their hands went up. Their hands went up. When I say everything, I'm talking about from cleaning the bathroom to organizing a missions conference to doing the parade and handing out tracts and potluck supper, it didn't matter. Vacuum the carpet, clean the church, it did not matter. If I asked them to do anything, it wasn't just the husbands, it was the wives as well. And I wasn't probably savvy or smart enough to realize what was going on, but they were burning themselves out and just serving and serving and serving and serving and serving and never taking the time to rejuvenate themselves, never taking the time, letting somebody else help, letting somebody else do something. And other people were helping too. It wasn't just them, but they would always volunteer. They always wanted to help. They didn't need to be in charge. They just wanted to help. But they weren't doing what was necessary to keep that body rejuvenated, to keep it refreshed. And after 20 years, they left the church. No problems with me, no problems. They just can't do it anymore, preacher. Just can't do it anymore. And I ask myself, what could I have done differently? Sure, I wish I had done this. I wish I had done this. I wish they had done this. Wish they had done that. But the bottom line is, they were no longer with us, and they were a very integral part of the church. But that can happen to you, and that can happen to me if we're not careful. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul says in verse 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." He didn't say a few, he said many. Many are weak. In other words, that's probably like the majority. I mean, I don't know, but many is many. Not just a couple, not just a few, many are weak and sickly, and many sleep. That means many have died. You know, and we don't want to see that. We don't want to see people burning out while serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, no matter who you are, like I said, it could be us. I mean, the greatest men of God. What did Moses say? "If thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee." That's what Moses said to God. Just kill me. He got to the point of, you know, right to the end, the last straw. And what did Elijah say? Elijah said, "It's enough now, O Lord, take away my life," as he was running away from Jezebel. Joshua said, "Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. We never would have had all these problems." Just coming to the end of the rope. And even Job said, "Let the day perish in which I was born. I wish I was never even put on this earth." If the greatest men of God can come to that point, you and I can come to that point. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 2, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die." Be watchful. Do you watch out for each other? Oh, yeah, well, we watch. Yeah, we know. Yeah, we always say hi to each other. We say, but are you watching for them? I wish that I had done a better job at watching over my two men. I wish I had done a better job. And there was just so much on them. And you know, some people are just so willing to do whatever to help. And that is like the greatest blessing of all. That's a pastor's dream, to have people that are so willing to help. But if we allow them to go too far, it can be to their detriment and to the church as well. You know, I asked the preacher, you know, we've been talking about it for the last few days, as to, you know, why there's so few 20 and 30 year old missionaries. Where are they? Where's the missions conferences? I used to get 2 to 3 phone calls a month from missionaries wanting to come in and present their work, coming right out of Bible school. We didn't get those calls. My son's not getting those calls now. Where are they? You just have to wonder. Is something changing? And we know in the last days that it's going to get harder and harder and harder and harder. This world's going to get harder. The devil's upset. We know that. The world's upset. The world hates God. I was showing the preacher a picture that I had of the fires that were going on in Los Angeles. And they were holding up signs that says, "Get God out of California." They were holding signs, "Get God out of California," as the city was burning to the ground. The world's not getting any easier to live in. And if we're not doing what we should do, we're going to make it harder and harder and harder on ourselves to survive, to make it to the end, to make it to that finish line in good shape. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:12, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." You know, we need to be looking out for one another. And when you see one another, you know, sometimes people get kind of upset when you offer to help them doing their ministry, like you're trying to take it away from them or something. But you know, seriously, if there was one of you out there mowing the lawn and somebody else said, came up and said, you know, you've been mowing that lawn for an hour out here and it's hot out here, you could use a good drink. Why don't you let me fill in for you? You think they're going to say, are you stealing my ministry? I knew it. I saw you in the window eyeing me. I know what I would say. I go, praise God. What a blessing. And even if I said, that's okay, brother, I'd be mowing that lawn like this the rest of the way. Just knowing somebody wanted to help me. What a blessing. What a blessing. And man, we just need to look out for one another. And we need to understand that we have enemies. And the enemies should never come from within. Turn your Bible to John chapter 20. Let's take a look at how these disciples kept on going as they endured much more than we ever will. John chapter 20. And in verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. They were assembled on the first day of the week, kind of like we assemble on the first day of the week. Interesting. And God's breath was given to them at that day with the Holy Ghost. Now turn over to Acts chapter 2. And look at verse 1 with me. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. One accord in one place. That's being together, together. Right? One accord in one place is together, together. You can be together physically, but not be together spiritually. They were together, together. I hope that that's how you are when you come to this church, that you're not just a spectator, but you're part of the team. You're unified. You're together, together. I preached a message once entitled, Unity, I Nitty. Together we nitty together, okay? We knit together so that we're together, unified. And that's what kept them going. They were together as a team. Because you can be, I had people in my church, they were islands. You know, there's an island, it's island, that's what it is. It's where I want to be by myself. Everyone else says, leave me alone. And when they come into church, they're all by themselves. They don't want to talk to anybody. They're loners. You won't survive like that. And if you do survive, you'll be miserable in the process. God gave us each other for a reason. He tells us to love one another, forgive one another, comfort one another, provoke one another. You know, edify one another. One another, one another, one another. I guess I got the feeling after reading this book that he wanted us to have each other. You know? And you just don't get that online. Behold, and how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It said that the Lord filled them when they were in one accord in one place. Well, what about the guy that's on the golf course? When does he get filled? Well, what about the other ones that went out fishing? When do they get filled? They were together. And that's when the Lord gave them what they needed. They came to the supper table. In verse 2 there, says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't ever underestimate the purpose and the power of the filling station God has given you. God ordained the local church. This church is here for you. If it's your church, if you've joined this church, make it your church. Possess it. It's your church. And it's important for you to be here. Try filling up your car without going to the gas station. Just walk to the gas station with a 5-gallon can, fill it up, take it back to your car, dump it into your car, then go back to the gas station with your 5-gallon can again, fill it up, and keep going, and do that as many times as it takes to fill your car. Either that or call that big tanker, that big gas tanker, and ask him if he wouldn't mind coming to your house. No, if you want to fill up your car, the best way to do it is go to the filling station. And right here, folks, is one of the best filling stations I've seen in America. Praise God for it. But I want you to notice something there in verse 2. Notice that he filled the house before he filled the people. It says, and he filled all the house where they were sitting. Just like in the Old Testament when that cloud would come in and it would fill the house, right? And the priest couldn't even minister because the cloud just took over. It filled the house. And you say, well, how does he fill the house here? He gives your pastor exactly what you need. He spends hours preparing. You come to the supper table and he serves it up. He fills the house. Then he fills the people. Now, I know the people get sick and there's reasons to not be in church. I understand that. What I'm talking about is when you can be here, are you? Do you make every effort to be here? And I mean go out of your way to be here. That's what needs to happen. COVID got people out of the workplace and COVID got people out of the church house. And it's a shame because online churches now are going crazy. But where does it say that it filled those that wanted to watch online or on the boat or on the golf course? And we wonder why we run on empty. Maybe it's because our seat is empty. Come to the filling station. Folks, you need to be really, really thankful for what you have here. Really, really thankful. And as I said, the more you come here, and you know, it's the same old layout, same old preacher, same old Lord, you know, just after a while, we lose our thankfulness for it. We lose our appreciation for it because it's not new. We have to be really careful of that. Really careful. You know, I've asked people before, you know, where were you Sunday? Oh, I tried to make it, I just couldn't. I said, oh. Did you have time to eat? Well, yeah, I had time to eat. What do you mean, Pastor, did I have time to eat? Of course I had time to eat. Did you have time to sleep? Yeah, of course I did, Pastor. What a silly question. Did you have time to go to the bathroom? Well, Joe, I'm not laughing. Because you made time for each and every one of those because they were important to you. But you could have been at church had church been important to you. and you don't even know what you missed. And I wonder if you even care what you missed. Did you ask for the tapes? Did you even want to listen to them? Do you even care what you missed? Conviction versus convenience. You know, we had people that drove 105 miles to church one way. 105 miles in, 105 miles back. They did that, I don't even know how many years it was. Years and years and years and years and years. Matter of fact, the last one just left our church this last year because they moved away. Just this last year, so it was 20-something years they were in our church. And the mother had rheumatoid arthritis in her 30s. She had so many joints replaced that she couldn't go through a metal detector at the airport in her 30s. So what do you think she felt like when she got to church after a two-hour ride and just in one position, and then she got out and tried to walk? And she'd come into church with the biggest smile on her face. She loved her church. She loved her pastor. She loved being there. And we'd say, "Sister, are you all right? Are you okay? Is everything all right?" She goes, "Everything's wonderful, because a church alive is worth the drive." The pain and the pain and the pain that that woman went through. And you have no idea how God rewarded her. One day I got a phone call, and she said, "Pastor, you got to come help us. The river's overflowed. The rains were incredible, and the river overflowed its banks. We're down in the valley, and the water's rising up, and it's now to the threshold of the door, and the kids are crying. We can't escape. We can't. There's no way we can get out. The water's like 3 or 4 feet deep, and we don't know what to do." So I got some of my deacons. We got a boat. We got to take it out to the house, got them into the boat, and they were crying. Oh, they were frantic. And then we finally got them to shore, and everything was okay. And you know what God did for them? God cut them an insurance check big enough for them to buy the house closest to the church. 1 mile down the road. And that was God just saying, "Thank you. Thank you." What? For what? For making my house that important to you. How important is this house to you? That will determine whether or not I'll see you if your pastor ever invites me back. I tried not to eat too much. You know, David himself, the man after God's own heart, what did he say? He said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." I want to be in God's house every day of my life. That was David's heart. Is that my heart? Well, this week it is. Yeah, I got to preach 8 days in a row. I'm going up to Brother Steve's after this. But is that my heart? If I wasn't, you know, in evangelism, would I want my pastor to say, "We're going to have church every day of the week"? Well, you know, in Acts chapter 20, it says they met daily. Seriously? Every day? Really? I mean, and back in Nehemiah, in chapter 9, they'd pick up the book and read for one quarter of the day. Read the law. Can you imagine reading Leviticus for 6 hours? While standing. 6 hours standing reading the law. And then the next 6 hours they spent confessing their sins. Oh, woe is me, I am so Laodicean. I don't have a heart like that. I don't have a heart like David. I know I need that. I need to be like that. I know I have a much greater chance of surviving. I have a much greater chance of crossing the finish line in good shape if my heart was like that. But I've never seen anyone's spirituality increasing while their church attendance was decreasing. Look at Acts chapter 4 with me. And in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. This is three different fillings that we've read about in John and two in Acts with the disciples. Three different times that their hearts were filled by the Holy Ghost. And it's funny, I mean, it's just kind of funny that in all three instances, they were together. Together. And there are typically, I'm sure, four services here a week that God has given you to attend. Are you content with one of them or two of them a week, or as long as you make some? Why not all? Why drive around with a half a tank of, gas when you can drive around with a full tank? You think that God gave him something during Bible study that you don't need? Or God gave him something on Wednesday night that you don't need? Come to the filling station and get what God has for you. If you believe that your pastor is a man of God and that he speaks with God and that God speaks with him, then you have to believe that God has given him something for his sheep. Why would you clench your teeth and say, I don't need that? You want to make it to the end of the race? In good shape? Together? Together. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I have to be honest with you. I was impressed last night with the size crowd you had with tornadoes coming in. Yeah, man. I mean, I was watching those things probably more than you were. I had one come right down my street. And Jenny and I were at Sam's Club. And the guy comes out from Sam's Club. He goes, you guys better, we were out at our car. They go, you better get in here. There's a tornado coming right down the road right now. And I said, where is it? And they told me where it was. It was still a couple miles down the road. I said, Jenny, get in. We're not going into Sam's Club. If Sam's Club gets hit by a tornado, there's going to be a million projectiles going in all directions. We're going to our house. Come on, we live 2 miles down the road. So we got in and we raced home. We ran into the house. We grabbed the cats, my three little kids. And we went into the bathroom. And we shut the door, and we're in there, and we'd never been through something like this before. And that tornado came down the road, not even a half a mile away. Came right down the road. It was an F3, and all we heard was sucking all the air out of our house. And we went out of the next morning, and one of our roofs off of our garage went off. And trees were down all over the place. A tree came down and just missed my RV on my neighbor's house. It came down. It was a huge, monstrous tree. Trees down all over. We just thank God that we survived. I've got a picture of it. It's incredible. But you folks all came to church. You're crazy. I came too. I guess I'm with you now. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's just unfortunate that when this verse was written, they had no knowledge of Zoom. You know, it's a shame. It says assembled together. For what reason? Why is it so important we come together? How do you exhort one another apart? Exhorting one another. One another. There's another one of those one another things. They're all through the Bible. One to another, one to another, one another, one another. Provoke one another. Love one another. Have compassion one of another. I mean, just incredible. You know what that means to me? We need each other. It's not just the preaching. It's the exhortation that we get one from another. Kind of hard to shake hands and hug over a TV. You know, you can watch a campfire on TV, but you'll never feel its warmth. You can watch a cooking show on TV, but you'll never smell it or taste it. This is the filling station. That's the man of God. God speaks to him to speak to you. If you aren't doing so well today, how's your church attendance? I find that people lose their relationship with their church before they actually fall into sin. This is what keeps people straight. Exhorting one another, you can do it, you can do it. Like I was saying about, you know, the 1 mile swim, those young guys saying, come on, Paul, you can do it, you can do it. Just exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and gaining from one another as your pastor feeds you. It's important, Christian. I've been preaching for quite a while, and I've pastored for 22 years, and I've seen them come and I've seen them go. And I'll tell you that before they fall off into sin, more times than not, they lose their relationship with their church. It's when they get out of here that they fall into sin. This place, for the most part, keeps people on the straight and the narrow. Yeah, there's no handshakes, no hugs, no warm greetings, no discussions. Come together, together, together. Look in your Bible at Philemon. And verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Refreshed by thee. God wants us to come together. God wants us to assemble. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. And it's going on in other places, but that doesn't mean it has to go on here. Just because the majority of Christianity is now Laodicean doesn't mean it has to go on here. And I know your pastor feeds you from the right book. You sing from the right books. You have the right doctrine. You're doing all the right things. You have beautiful music. Put that all together, how can you not come here? I mean, this is five-star dining. This is not fast food. You're not going to get this when you read your little daily bread at home for 5 minutes. This is a five-course meal right here. This is good stuff. So what's your SOP, which stands for your standard operating procedure? Are you usually here? Now let's say, we'll use Brother Dave as an example. If Brother Dave was in town, and on one given Sunday, he wasn't here, I wonder how many of you would say, where's Brother Dave? Because Brother Dave's always here. Brother Dave's always here. Where is he? Has anyone checked? Has anyone called? Does anyone know where Brother Dave is? And if you were missing, how many people do you think would say that about you? I hope that would be your testimony, that they would say the very same thing about you, because not a day goes by that you're not sitting in your seat, if at all possible. Have you ever considered how your absence affects your brothers and sisters in Christ? I know that I used to be let down as a pastor when I knew people were in town and they were out, you know, gallivanting the town on Saturday and didn't come to church on Sunday. I can tell you that that affected me. Sure, I care. You better care. As a pastor, I know your pastor cares. He cares. You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to care too. If we all care, then we'd have no problem assembling together. And you know what, sometimes what, you know how in the Bible says in Nehemiah, next unto him was this person, and next unto him was this person, and next unto him was this person, and next unto him was this person. You know, when you're not in your position, there's a schism in the body. There's a schism. You know, fill that gap, man. Let's make a wall to keep the adversary and the things of this world out of here. It takes your pastor hours, not minutes, hours to prepare messages. Hours. And when he doesn't see you here to partake of that meal, don't think it doesn't affect him. It does. He cares. If he didn't care, no big deal. Do what you want, go your separate way. But you know that's not the case. You know, ladies, if you spent 8 hours all day long preparing a special meal for your family and no one showed up at the dinner table, how would you feel? Your pastor spends hours preparing and delivering the messages that God gives him to bring. And it does affect him when you're not here. You need to encourage him just as much as you want him to encourage you. Because I remember as a pastor, the people would encourage me, either with, you know, when I was preaching, they would say amen, thank you, pastor, praise the Lord. It was encouraging. Pastor, we're human. We're flesh too. We need encouraging too. And it's discouraging when your church lays out, when you know they could be here. And you need it, and I need it. So how do I recognize those that are running on empty? As a pastor, I could recognize them. You could recognize the ones that were getting close to running out of gas. How do I recognize them? Well, we just read it in Acts chapter 4. Turn back there just so you can see it for yourself. And there in verse 31, you can see it says, after they were filled with the Holy Ghost, what? They spake the word of God with boldness. It says, after that, they were of one heart and one soul. And after that, it says, they had all things common. They were bold, they were unified, and they were sacrificial. B-U-S. Get on the bus. Get on the bus. They were bold, they were unified, and they were sacrificial after the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. And you know what I thought about that? Get on the bus. You know what I like about the bus? Everybody on the bus is going to the same destination with one driver. You know, and it... You're not gonna want to all go in the same destination to the same destination if you're not unified, doing the same thing. He has a plan for this church. He has goals for this church. And he's going to lead this church in the direction that God tells him to lead it in. And that's a blessing to be under, again, like I said last night, a lifesaver, Someone you can trust. Someone you can trust. So why do I doubt that mega church members are filled? I can tell you. Because there's no sacrifice required at all. It's all about them. They're not bold with the gospel. You ever see a mega church out on a street corner preaching? Have you ever gotten a gospel tract from someone at a mega church inquiring about your salvation and asking you to share your testimony? From a mega church member. You know why? Because it's all about them. Even what they're being taught is all about them. It's a prosperity gospel. It's just happy text. You know, just preach the happy text. You want them to keep coming back. You want to keep building this thing. You want to put on that new addition. We want to put that campus downtown. We got to build this thing. Don't upset them. Keep them happy. Yeah, that's what they do. There's no boldness. There's no unity. There's no sacrifice. That's how I can tell you they're not filled with the Holy Ghost. How about you? Now let's stop looking at them for a minute. How about you? How about me? How bold am I with the gospel? One time, I was really bold. You know, sometimes we can be bolder than other times. I was in Chattanooga. I was going to Highland Park. I was going to Tennessee Temple, the seminary there, because they told me that they stood on the King James Bible. They sure did stand on it, and they kicked it too, you know. So I got out of there after a year, but while I was there, I was really on fire. I wanted to do something for God. And I had moved my family down to Nashville in 1 year, in 1993. And in 1994, I turned right around and moved them all to Chattanooga. And so we had, you know, we were excited about doing something for God. And I went into this, pulled into this gas station, not in a great part of town. And the most horrific, ungodly music was playing out of this guy's car. He had gotten out of it and gone into the gas station, and that music was blasting for everyone to hear. Every four-letter word you can think of was blasting out of this vehicle loud, and it stirred me. I walked into that gas station. I just opened the door like John Wayne would. And I said, who in the world is playing that ungodly music? Just like that. I was crazy. I got possessed. And the guy said, it's mine. And before I could say another word, he darted out the door to go turn that music off. And I was not in the best part of town. But somehow just the Spirit of God said, would you stand up for me? Would you say something for me? And I did. And I'm thankful that I'm still here to preach to you tonight. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:18 to be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You see, you're not going to be bold if you're selfish. You're not going to be unified if you're selfish. And you're certainly not going to be sacrificial if you're selfish. But be not drunk with wine, that's being selfish. That's selfishness. It's all about you, how you feel. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, you can get filled up on a bag of Snickers, too. Right, Jenny? Right. It doesn't mean it's the best filling that you could get. So don't think that just because you go to any old church that you're going to get what you would get here. Because Snickers doesn't always satisfy. It'll fill the belly, but it's not going to strengthen you. There's no nutritional value whatsoever to it. Come to the place where you get a 5-star restaurant. When's the last time you just thanked God for Blessed Hope? When's the last time you thanked God for a pastor that's labored for 38 years? 38 years. Many of those years not knowing if he's going to even be here the following year. There was no money, there were no people, there didn't seem like it was going anywhere. And now, after 38 years, he can walk in here and see a room this filled on a Tuesday night. Unbelievable. He could see a room this filled with tornadoes in the area. He's got a church full of crazy people. But you have something, and I hope you recognize it. You know, the Bible, turn to Ezekiel chapter 37 with me. We'll be done here in just a minute or so. I'm talking about getting a second wind. Ezekiel 37, and verse 1 says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Verse 8, And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Christian, you know the Bible says, what does it say? It says something. I know it says something. Okay, well, it does say something. But basically, to avoid those that have the form outside but have no power. And we can walk around with suits on and ties on and shirts on with a King James Bible under our arm and doing all the right things externally. But inside, the Lord looketh on the heart. He looketh on the heart. And Christian, if this thing's not going right, you know, if this is not going right, it's only a matter of time that this out here won't be right. But you can go for a long time. You know, people have left our church. They were in our church for years and years and years, but they left years ago. And they stayed and they sat there and they sat there and they sat there. Their feet were here, but their heart had left a long time ago. And it's important that your heart be here too. God wants your heart here because you're not going to want to be bold without your heart here. You're not going to want to be unified without your heart here. And you're certainly not going to be sacrificial without your heart being here. Look, verse 9 there. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And now, a great army doesn't always have to be in numbers. I think this is a great church. I think you have a great pastor. You have a great work going on here. But it doesn't mean it's guaranteed to stay this way. The church is the people. Your condition will determine how this church is in the future. And each and every one of you are responsible for your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because you've been bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself. The Bible says But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Last thing I want you to look at, turn to 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles chapter 5. Start with me in verse 11. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Can you imagine that? It came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Yes, you know that white linen that it speaks of right there? That's the righteousness of the saints. The righteousness of the saints. And the one sound, as one sound, it says, they were as one to make one sound. Boy, that's the unity we talked about. And lifted up their voice, that's their might. They gave it all they had. And then it says, then the house was filled. So as far as I'm concerned, it says when they were right, the white linen, and they were tight as one, and they gave it all their might, and they lifted up their voices, that then came the light. And your church can be filled. I heard this orchestra. I heard this choir. Your church is special. I hope you think it's special. Maybe tonight be a good time to get a ticket on that bus and let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Thank the Lord tonight for Blessed Hope Baptist Church, for your pastor, for a place to come to get refueled. And if you've not been as diligent maybe as you should, you've been running around with a quarter tank for a long time, hopefully tonight you got that tank filled and you'll keep it full. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord, preacher.